Christ is among us. Do you remember what we talked about last Sunday? Do you remember? About giving to the Lord. About giving from our resources, from our money to the Lord. And today we're going to talk about giving of our time and talent to the Lord, because October in our parish this year is Stewardship Month. Do you know what Stewardship Month or what stewardship is? A group of people who help, stewards. What's a steward? No. What's a steward? A steward, yeah, this is, you know, your definition of the steward is very good. You know, that's what we mean by a steward of the church. But a steward is somebody who takes care of something. That's what a steward is. Okay? So a steward is somebody who usually is entrusted by somebody else to take care of something. In our case, we believe that we are stewards of the church. We believe that our Lord Jesus Christ entrusted His church to us. And all of us are called to be stewards. All of us are called to look after His church by giving our time, talent, and treasure to the church. And last Sunday we talked about giving our treasure. This Sunday we'll talk about giving our time and our talent. Now, I want to ask you today, besides the time and the talent, what do you think the talent is? Because I'm sure that you know what time is. What do you think that it means to give your time? What do you think it means to give your time? Kendall? What does it mean to give your time to the church?
We
burn candles. We come to church, we light a candle, and we make sure at the end of the service that the candle is not still on, and we blow the candle because we don't want the church to be set on fire. So even that takes time, to blow the candle and to be a steward of the church. What else do we do? What else do we do, you know, to give our time to the church? Please tell them to be quiet in the kitchen.
Help sweep,
okay.
We take time to build
a new church.
Take time to stop what you're doing and help with other things.
Very good. Now, what do you think that it means to give your talent, to give our talent to the church? If you are good at painting, to help paint somewhere in the church. Okay. Or to paint icons.
If you love like sweeping and doing those kind of chores, you're gonna like help sweep.
If you are good at cleaning, to clean the church.
If you're good at singing, you can do the choir.
If you are good at singing, to sing in the choir. Very good. Now these are activities that you are already doing in the church. I want to ask you today, what else would you like to do as a group? As a group. Not as a person, but as a group. What other activities? What other activities would you like to do in the church? Not only when you come to church on Sunday morning. Okay? Do you copy?
Yes.
What else would you like to do? How else do you think that we could be more like Christ, and we could show Christ to the world? What else could we do to be more like Christ in the church? Sophia?
Feed the homeless.
Thank you very much, Sophia.
Write about what we do in the church.
Write about what we do in the church? Is that what you said? Okay.
Try
Try to get yourself involved in meetings. Meetings for what? What would you like to do? No? So try not to forget about dream now. You are allowed to dream now. What would you like to do as a church? As the children's church?
Like paint icons.
Paint icons. Okay, go to Sunday school and work on some paper icons. What else would you like to do?
Read the Bible.
Read the Bible. What else? Any other ideas? You know, I have a very serious reason for asking you this, because I want to see what you want to do, and then, you know, to try to give you the chance to do these activities that you want to do, like to feed the homeless, to write about the life of the church, to paint icons, to read the Bible. What else would you like to do as a church? Is there anything else? Okay, maybe that's enough. Maybe that's enough, and I want to thank you very much for these wonderful ideas. And I want to tell you that they really are wonderful ideas, and I'll do my best. I'll do my best to give you the chance to do in this church what you want to do to get closer to God. What your heart tells you that you should do together as a church, that we should do together as a church to get closer to God. Thank you very much. And I have a question for you now. Do you love these children?
Yes.
Do you love these children?
Yes.
Do you want these children to remain in the church?
Yes.
Do you want these children to grow up and to be in the church when they're in their 20s and 30s?
Yes.
Then we have to give to them what they want to do in the church. We have to give them the chance to feed the homeless, to read the Bible, to write about the life of the church, and to paint icons. That's what they want to do. And that's what we are called as fathers and mothers of our biological children and spiritual children. This is what we are called to give them the chance to do. Because by the grace of God, because they are images of God, God planted into them what is right, beautiful, and loving to do. They know it in their heart. But so many times, when it is about giving our time and talent to the church, we don't give them the chance to do that. And we don't give ourselves the chance to feed the homeless, to read the Bible, to paint icons, or to write, to preach about what's going on in the life of our church. So many times, in the life of the Orthodox Church in North America, we are so busy, we give so much of our time and talent to fundraise just to pay the bills and to keep the church open. It is a sad reality. And I know that we are giving a lot of time and a lot of talent for that, for fundraising. We are spending thousands of hours in each community to fundraise. And we fundraise a lot, and that's enough to keep the doors of the church open. But it is not enough to do more. It is not enough to go out and to feed the homeless. It is not enough to come for Bible studies, Because the people said, you know, Father, I've already spent 5 hours in church this week besides coming to church on Sunday morning. I don't have time for the Bible study. I don't have time for preaching the gospel because I've been in church 5 hours already this week for baking and making I don't know what to sell it and to make money for the church. And the people are right. They can't give more time and talent because they have only so much. And this is what I want to meditate about today. When our Lord Jesus Christ started his preaching, he started his preaching by saying, repent, change your mind, Nathanael, change your mind, change your ways, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You will experience a different reality, a much more beautiful and loving reality here and now at hand. He didn't tell the people, he didn't tell Peter when he asked Peter to come after him, he didn't tell Peter, Peter, come after me and I'll make you a very good fundraising person. He told Peter, come after me and I'll make you a fisher of men. He gave him the chance to become something bigger than himself. And he wants to give all of us the chance to experience the kingdom of heaven. He wants to give us the chance to become bigger than ourselves. And that's what people are longing for. That's what our children are longing for. They are longing for the kingdom of God. People are longing for the kingdom of God because we were created for it. We were created for God's love and for his kingdom. And when we don't give the chance to people, when we don't give the chance to our children to experience the kingdom of God, to become part of projects that they feel that make them bigger than them, than themselves, people stop coming to church. People, our children, especially children, are very enthusiastic. And especially young people, so many times we ask ourselves, why? Why we lose 80-90% of our youth? That's why. Because people in their teenagers and young adults are half crazy. In a good way. Teenagers and young adults go to war just to have the chance to do something great in life. They don't care about death. People enrolled in war just to have the chance to serve their countries and to do something great in life. Only when you are 18 you could do something like that. When you're in your 30s and you have a family and children, you think twice before you do that. When you're 18, you don't care about anything. You want to fulfill your life. And that's what our youth wants. And we have to give them the chance. But unfortunately, so many times, we don't give them the chance. And that's why they leave the church. And they try to go to some other places, they try not to join some other groups that fulfills their desire to become bigger than themselves. Now why? Why can't we give our children and ourselves the chance to become bigger than ourselves? Because, as I said earlier, we spend way too much time and way too much talent just in fundraising to keep the doors open. And some people think that, you know, this is the spirit, that's the mentality of the Orthodox Church. That's what we know. That's our mentality. Protestants, yes, they tithe. We don't. We fundraise. And very many people think this is the mentality of the Orthodox Church. I want to tell you that they are half right, half wrong. They are half right because indeed this is our current mentality. But they are half wrong because that was not our mentality. If we identify ourselves as the early Christian church, the original Christian church, when somebody asks me, you are a priest? Yes, I'm a priest. What kind of priest? I'm an Orthodox Christian priest. Oh, Orthodox, what's that? And that gives them the chance, you know, to give a short lecture. And I tell them, you know, the Orthodox Church is the original Christian church that was started by our Lord Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, and then it spread all over the Middle East and into the Balkans, all the way to Russia, all the way to Siberia, all the way to North America, and now we are all over the world, and we are the second largest second largest Christian body in the world. That's the Orthodox Church. But my beginning is that the Orthodox Church is the original Christian church that was started by Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, and then it spread all over the world. Now, in that original Christian church that we claim to be, according to the book of Acts, and I read to you that passage last Sunday, according to the book of Acts, the early Christian community in Jerusalem didn't fundraise very much. In fact, I looked through the Bible, I couldn't find a passage that speaks about fundraising for the church. I found lots of passages that speak about giving to the Lord, and the early Christian community, that's what they did. They sold whatever they had, they put everything in common, they decided together what to do with their money. They gave to the church, and then the church gave to the poor, they started a charitable ministry to look after the widows of the church, to look after the orphans, and then to give to the world, and to bear witness of this kingdom that came on earth, the kingdom of love, that is proclaimed with strength upon the world and gives love to the world. That was the spirit of the early church. And that was the spirit of the Orthodox Church for about 300 years until Constantine the Great was very well intended and he gave freedom to the church. And not only that, but he started to support the church with money from the government. And then the people got more and more used to receiving from the government. We don't have to give to the church because the emperor is going to build the church. We don't have, you know, to pay the priest because the emperor is going to pay the priest. The governor, you know, the government is going to look after the church. But guess what? Was really the emperor giving from his money to the church? We know that the government just collects taxes from the people and then they give money to whomever they think they should give money. So ultimately, it was still the people who were supporting the church. But people got the idea that I don't have to give directly because the government will give. Later on, under the Turkish yoke, the situation was different but kind of similar because the church was heavily controlled by the Ottoman Empire and they would decide the destinies of the church and the people didn't have the destinies of the church in their hands anymore. So again, the church was heavily controlled by the government. In Russia, Peter the Great confiscated the properties of the church and the government took over the church and the government again looked after the finances and the well-being of the church and they gave to the church whatever they thought they should give. But once again, during all this time, it was ultimately the people who gave to the government, and the government gave back to the church. Now, when Orthodox immigrants came from the Orthodox countries, they brought with them this mentality that I don't know who, somebody else provides for the church. I'm not really sure who provides for the church, but somehow the needs of the church are looked after. But guess what? You know, after a few, they started churches here, and they noticed that, you know what? The government doesn't give anything to the church here. It's a different situation, I think. So we better do something. And they noticed that their neighbors like their food. Look, your food is different. And it's very tasty. Yes, I know it is. I like, you know, my baklava and my oil. I'm so proud of it. So they thought, you know, what if we start selling our food because these Americans like our food? So let's sell them some food and then, once again, somebody else will provide for the needs of the church and we'll have just to sell them some food. And we got used to this and we think that it works. And it works for paying the bills, but it doesn't work for giving the people the chance to become bigger than themselves. And don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Fundraising activities have their role in the life of the church. People who have the gift and the talent of cooking should use their gift for the glory of God. And it is okay to have some fundraising activities just to raise awareness of a very special project that maybe we are trying to do, but not to keep the church open. If we want, you know, maybe we want to do a very special charitable program that is bigger than our means, then we could think about, you know, maybe let's have a fundraising dinner and the proceeds, and to advertise it like that, that, you know, all the proceeds will go to this project. That's why we do it. But even that, you know, we should not do too many of those, because the more time and talent you spend for fundraising activities, the less time and talent you have for charitable work, missionary work, Bible study, spiritual activities. If we get burnt out in fundraising activities, we don't have the strength anymore to do the really beautiful and uplifting activities that the church is hoping. Now, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. A new life begins with a change of mind, with a repentance. If we want to grow, if we want to keep our children in church, we have to change our mentality, because they see us what we do. If they see us excited, if they see us giving to the church and then being excited about very special programs that take part, that take place in the life of the church, if they see us excited about Bible studies, about educational programs, about outreach work, about charitable work, they will get excited too. And they will stay in the church, and they will work together with us. If they see us mumbling and giving grudgingly, you know, to the church something, and then going, you know, and working really hard to fundraise for the church, and at the end, you know, after that, I felt so bad, you know, so many times when I felt that the church is burning out people. And that was happening so many times. Because a handful of people are working a lot and fundraising to keep the church open, and the rest of the people show up on Sunday morning, and many of them, you know, they just expect, you know, the church somehow, you know, to be there for them and to provide for them. It doesn't work like that. We have to be together. We have to put together whatever resources we have, and then to decide together how we could be really like the early Christian church that we came to be. It takes a change of mind. It takes a change of mentality. I know that. But I'm here to speak the truth. I'm very well aware of the fact that the honeymoon of a priest in a parish is over when he tries to make a change. I'm well aware of that fact, but I don't care. Very good. Thank you very much, Senor. Thank you very much, Senor. But I don't care about what you think about me. What I care about is about having my children, my biological children and my spiritual children in the church. That's my role. And I have to speak the truth in love, as lovingly as I can, but I have to tell you the truth. Because only the truth will set us free and will give us the chance to become like God. We made mistakes in the past. That's okay. Everybody makes mistakes. But now we have the chance to be ourselves, to be the church, that our Lord Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross to give to us. We have the chance to give a new life. And I know that many of you as parents feel bad that your children are not in church anymore. And I feel your pain and I share in your pain. But do not worry, because anything that died could be brought back to life by God. We saw in today's gospel our Lord Jesus Christ resurrecting the son of a widow, giving new life to a young man who died. So many times, our children died spiritually because we didn't feed them spiritual food. And I am sorry. And I'm here to tell you that there is still hope. Our Lord Jesus Christ resurrected a young man who died in order to give him to his widowed mother. He resurrected him for her because he knew that this widowed mother would have nobody to look after her in her old age. Out of love for her, he gave a new life to her son. If we try to become full of God's grace ourselves, if we try to become images of love and of Christ ourselves, our children will notice that, and chances are, you'll be brought back to life, you'll come back into the church because they'll say, I want to be part of this. This is what I've been longing for all along. But it was not given to me. But now I see that this community in which I grew up is a different community. It is a real church. It is really the kingdom of heaven that I want to belong to. If we change, the world around us will change. In the world of nature, cells die. In the world of nature, entire organisms, entire bodies die. But guess what? If one cell is brought back to life, and that cell starts to move, and to move, it starts to move the cells around her, and then more cells, and more cells, until the whole organism is brought back to life. And that's where we're called to be. The salt of the earth that gives flavor to the world. And now is the time of salvation. The Apostle Paul said in this gospel, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, today is the day of salvation. Now, God gives us the chance to be his church, now and forever. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.